Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Rachel G. Scott on responding to God's call by taking what she calls leaps.
One of the first challenges in the shepherd's leap specifically is the letting go. You're not only leaving familiar, but we have communities, we have friends, we have family that we have built. So walking away from all of that and then having to reestablish and rebuild is very, very hard. And we have to keep at the forefront that we are doing this because God is leading us into this.
Rachel G. Scott, next. Podcaster and Bible teacher Rachel G. Scott loves to help people navigate their God-given callings. Using a concept called leaps, she wants us to be aware of how God may lead us to take action. For example, to move from the familiar to the unfamiliar for His glory and our good. Rachel G. Scott writes about it in her new book, Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. Rachel, tell us a little about yourself, your background, and how you came to understand this concept of the leaps.
Yes. So outside of the concept being a part of my life, I am, like you mentioned, a Bible teacher, and I write, and I have a ministry called the I Can't Come Down Movement, which is really centered off of the story of Nehemiah when he says in Nehemiah 6:3, I'm working on something great and I can't come down. So a lot of this was birthed out of that in working with women and working with people who were feeling called to step in their purpose and their assignment, but I noticed that they weren't fully stepping into it. So just to give you a backstory of the book itself, having taken leaps myself, I was having a conversation with someone that I was coaching at the time. She was a healthcare provider and she wanted to write. So I was coaching her on some writing. And one day we had a real intimate conversation where she shared that she was really wanting to fully step into writing, but she didn't want to walk away from being a full-time healthcare worker. You know, it was sustaining for her family, and there were just other important elements to it for her. And so we prayed and we talked, and I just gave her some encouragement about where she was at and the passion she was feeling. But after that conversation, I honestly started to feel the same way that she did, because I had been there. I had been in the place where I wanted to obey that nudging that I felt from God and the Holy Spirit to fully step into something, but I didn't want to walk away from everything because it was what was sustaining my household, or it was what was contributing and, you know, me being a helpmate to my husband. So I knew how she felt. And so after that, what essentially happened was during my quiet time with God, I tend to ask God questions. I feel like that's how I really get deep into the word. And I asked him two questions. I said, you know, Lord, is there only one way to take a leap of faith? And if not, what are the other ways? Can you show me someone in the Bible who? And that is like my pivotal question. Anytime I have a question about parenting, marriage, life, finances, I'm like, Lord, show me someone in the Bible who went through the same thing. And from those two questions, these five leaps began to evolve as I studied and I prayed and I looked, you know, ask, seek, knock. I did those things, and the five leaps and the leapers stood out to me.
And of course, I want to ask you about these five leaps, and it's such a fascinating concept. People might think, well, this sounds like it's mainly applicable to the younger person, the career person, the upwardly mobile person. And yet you say, it's for everybody, the stay-at-home mom, even the retiree?
Yes, absolutely. Because the big, if I could say the big thesis, that's the educator in me, of this book is that we are called to live a leaping lifestyle. And as we go through the leaps, you'll understand why. But it was modeled for us all throughout the Bible. So it is for everyone. And I believe that we are going to take leaps until we leap into glory. So it is for every single person that is a follower of Christ.
And you mentioned, and of course, I want to ask you about these individual leaps, these leapers, the biblical characters that characterize each of those. But what do you mean by a leaping lifestyle?
So essentially, it's this idea that we are not going to just take one leap and then that's the last one. We will go from one of the leaps to the next one. It may not always be the same one, but God is always inviting us into another season that pulls us out of our comfort zone, because that's really what it is. He's moving us out of our comfort zone, but yet into his will where he can get the glory. So a leaping lifestyle is saying yes to that, yes to each opportunity that we have to partner with God and the next thing that he wants to do.
Well, the book is Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. My guest is the author, Rachel G. Scott. She is a Bible teacher and a podcaster as well. Well, Rachel, perhaps we should move right into the five leaps. Can you kind of give us an overview of the five leaps and the biblical examples? Then we can kind of come back and drill down a little bit.
Yes. So I will tell you what they are first. It's the fisherman, the tent maker, builder, shepherd, and trailblazer. So fisherman, tent maker, builder, shepherd, and trailblazer. So the fisherman is based on the story of Peter. And although we know that there was more than one of them, Peter's story is very significant because, you know, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And there were so many moments that Jesus and Peter had. But it's essentially this idea of walking away from your career and going into your calling. So this is the one that most people relate to. This is the one that terrifies people the most, is having to walk away from that career and going into their calling. The second one is the tent maker. And this is the story of Paul. And it is because Paul was a tent maker, but he also had a ministry at the same time. And I like to say that the tent maker is a person who God is calling to not walk away from their career, but their career and their calling occupy space in the same season. So they may have, they're working full time, but they may be starting that ministry, starting that business, writing that book, starting a podcast, doing whatever this other thing is that God is calling them to do, but they're still working full time. But that may be helping to fund the calling that God has for them. And then we have the builder's leap, and that's the story of Nehemiah, who he temporarily left his role as a cupbearer. It was temporary. And then he returned back into that. But he left his role as a cupbearer to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Then he went back into that his job as a cupbearer. So this is a person who their leap is temporary. They're going to leave their career temporarily. They may start the business, start the ministry, but then they go back, and delegation is a big part of what they're going to do following that. But it was intended to be temporary. And then we have the fisherman, the tent maker, the builder, the shepherd. And the shepherd is Abraham. And we know that God called Abraham to relocate. So this is the person who God is leading to relocate, to move. And it's essentially for new territory. God wants to have his glory revealed in that new territory through you. And it's a partnership with him as well, but it can be often very uncomfortable. And then we have one of my favorite, which is the trailblazer. Mm-hmm. Nehemiah is one, because my ministry is based off of that. But Jesus, you cannot go wrong when we have Jesus in the mix. And so Jesus is the trailblazer, and he has done all of these leaps before us. So we get to see what it looks like to live a leaping lifestyle. That's where that comes in, because he did every leap. And so he modeled for us what it looks like to live a leaping lifestyle. But it's also the person who's called to disciple other people, because they've experienced God's faithfulness in the past leaps, and they can say, he was faithful in this. This is what he did. He was faithful in that. So you're discipling other people, but you're also embracing the fact that God is going to continue to lead you into taking more leaps until we leap into glory.
This whole idea of the leap that you've just outlined for us in the Bible, it intersects, it sounds like, with the idea of calling, where God is calling us, where he is leading us, and it could be different in different seasons of life.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe that we all have the same purpose, which is to bring people into the body of Christ. We want to make heaven full. We want the same thing that God wants, which is that no one would perish. But our assignment is different. And the way he calls us to our assignment is going to look different. So yes, it is this calling into the next thing that God wants us to do. And it can change each season, each year, from day to day, it can change.
And it sounds like, and I know your book talks about this, that the whole idea of taking a leap, whatever the leap may be, and I want to ask you more about these various ones that you laid out for us, but there's the idea of risk. And people, you might even think, we might think, oh, this is crazy. I can't do this. How how will we survive? How will we pay the bills? What about the kids? What about, right? I mean, how do you navigate that idea of this sounds risky.
Absolutely. I call myself a calculated risk taker. Like, I'll take some risks, but I need to know details. And so this definitely is really helping to respond to that risk that's associated with it, because we know that the risk is worth heaven's reward. But I'm not painting this picture that it's easy or that it's going to be comfortable. But what I do want people to see is that this is a partnership with God, and ultimately He is leading the way. And it's really more about being stretched out of our comfort zone and trusting in His faithfulness and trusting and believing in the nature of God in our lives and looking back at what He's done and knowing that His history means something when He's calling us into the next thing, that His history and being faithful. So, yes, the risk is there. It's uncomfortable. And I don't think that the fear of what's going to happen completely goes away, but it can be surrendered in exchange for recognizing His faithfulness.
And of course, you talked a little bit about it, but you've made this kind of a leap yourself from one thing to another. Can you talk a little bit about your own experience?
So many times. I feel like my life is defined by these leaps. You know, I think about one where I was working for the state for a while. I've worked for the federal, the state, school district, and I was working for the state for a while. And it was just like one of those jobs that people wait and they wait for. And it is like to walk away from that, you don't want to do that until you're retiring. But yet I knew that God was leading me into speaking and writing. And for me, that was terrifying. And at that time, the only leap I knew was to walk away from everything. I didn't know that these other leaps existed, which is why it's so important to me to get this message out. But that for me was such a surrender moment. And I remember having the opportunity to turn in that resignation and not doing it and putting it off and putting it off. And finally, I had to drive down to Columbus, because that's where the capital is, to turn in that resignation. I was terrified. I was like, God, what are we doing? What am I doing now? But I've done it so many times at this point that I had to begin to ask God, like, Lord, is this the only possible way to do this? And, you know, my husband and I, we've done multiple leaps, and not all of them were intended to be the fisherman's leap. I just thought they were. But when I look back, I'm like, oh, my husband's leap was a builder's leap. Mine, you know, was a tent maker or a fisherman's leap. And now I can look and see, and having known that would have made my life so much easier, but I didn't know.
And that fisherman's leap is Peter. He left his occupation of fisherman to be a disciple. It's leaving that, like what you just explained, what is so familiar to something you believe God is calling you to, but it's not familiar. You're going into kind of uncharted territory in your life.
Absolutely. And a big thing that we struggle with is the provision of it, you know, provision, what's going to happen financially. And one of the things in my studying that I learned is that not a single person did God not have provision for. And did he not already have it? I mean, even when we think about Peter, he was walking with Jesus. That is provision, right? Mm-hmm. But when Abraham left, he was pretty wealthy when it was time for him to step out. So the biggest misconception is that we're just supposed to leave and not have provision. And I've done it myself. I talk about it in the book, because I didn't understand that there would be provision as God was leading me into that, and that I would be taking with me. And knowing that could alleviate a lot of the fear and uncertainty that we often feel centered around leaps.
Well, the book is Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. My guest is the author, Rachel G. Scott. Well, asking you a little bit more about the Shepherd's Leap, Rachel, that, as you say, is characterized in the Bible by Abraham, is one such example. Changing physical location, if you will, maybe being called to leave some place where you've grown up and you've lived all your life, and yet there's that sense that God is leading you somewhere else. And that requires, there's some challenges there, right? A pruning process, some trial is up ahead, spiritual warfare.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first challenges in the Shepherd's Leap specifically is the letting go. You're not only leaving familiar, but we have communities, we have friends, we have family that we have built. So walking away from all of that and then having to reestablish and rebuild is very, very hard. And we have to keep at the forefront that we are doing this because God is leading us into this. you know, and it doesn't mean that all the relationships are going to change, but it does mean that obedience has to become a non-negotiable, you know, and obeying what God is calling us to do. But it's also an invitation from God. And we want to respond to that invitation for in the adventure of what he's going to do next. But it is there's a letting go that has to happen that is often not only uncomfortable, but hard. And I want to speak into that. It's very hard.
And the builder's leap, Nehemiah, temporarily leaving your job and people who have perhaps aging parents, for example, may be faced with that exact issue of caring for them.
Yeah, I actually share in the story about a friend of mine who walked through temporarily leaving her job to care for her father. And she did end up going back to that. But for some people, it comes natural because we're natural caregivers and we naturally want to do that. But for others, it's really, really hard because we do have the concern about finances. We do have the concern about how things are going to be taken care of. Are we going to be the best caregiver for that person? Or homeschool moms. Like for me, it was me temporarily doing that to homeschool my kids for a couple of years because I saw that there was something I needed to pour into them. Mm-hmm. So it is a sacrifice in that season of what we think that season is going to look like for someone else or for something else, and trusting that God had this as part of his plan the whole time. He knew that this season was going to come.
And I'd like to ask you a little bit more about the tent maker's leap. The Apostle Paul is a classic example of that, a tent maker making his living as he's ministering. Can you talk about that and what that involves in terms of co-laboring with God and other people?
Yes. Yeah, so the big thing with the tent maker's leap that I have found is understanding that you are co-laboring. So be willing to delegate. If you feel that you have to be in control, surrendering that to God and saying, Lord, I need you to help me so that I don't feel that I have to be in control of everything and I can delegate and surrender some of these things. But it's also going to come down to having conversations and in your prayer time, asking God, what does it practically look like for me to do this in the same season for my time to be managed well? Because we all only get 24 hours in a day,
yeah, right?
So it may be getting up earlier, 30 minutes, 40 minutes earlier to work on that task. It may mean that, you know, in the car ride line, you're listening to your class if you're going back to school. So asking God, what does it look like to co-labor with you in this season, but also how can I manage my time well so that the other important things that you've given to me that are still part of my ministry, family, and things like that don't fall by the wayside.
And then the trailblazer's leap, Jesus, of course, and if I recall correctly, you say that really, in essence, he went through all of those different kinds of leaps in his 33 years here on earth.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he went from heaven to earth, then he returned back to heaven, right? So that even that is just the builder's leap. Then we know he had a season where he was a carpenter, but he was also starting to do some ministry and some miracles. Then he went fully into full-time ministry in those last 3 years. So we see that he did all of these things in just 33 years. He lived that leaping lifestyle, but he also discipled people along the way. And that is such a big part of it. He discipled from his experience, from his journey. So the person that is a trailblazer, it's not so much age related, it's experience related. If you have done all these things and you've learned and you've seen God move in all of these areas, then you have experienced his faithfulness. But someone else who is taking the shepherd's leap is terrified and they're like, I can't do this, but I feel like he's calling me to do it. We get to come alongside them and disciple them through it and point them back to Jesus and point them back to the assignment and the purpose. So that's a big part of the trailblazer's leap. But also knowing that last leap that you did, that wasn't the last leap that you will do. That you understand you're called to live a leaping lifestyle. So you're constantly going into the next thing and going back to his faithfulness.
So this requires, and you mentioned this earlier, obviously staying close to God. Prayer is a central part of that process of, the, as you call it, the leaping lifestyle.
It is so important. We want prayer to be infused through the whole thing because we want to hear from God. We want to know what he is saying. The biggest mistake that I made as a leaper, and one of the many along my journey before even getting this and still walking through it, is that I would hear God tell me to do something and I would just go out. I'm like, okay, I've got the plan. It's like, no. I was just telling you what I wanted you to do. I didn't tell you how to do it yet. So prayer is part of getting the rest of the information that we sometimes don't pause to get. Prayer is a part of the whole process.
And what about obstacles and discouragement, Rachel? I'm thinking that, as you said, a lot of this has to do with, discerning God's call to make one of these kinds of leaps that you see in Scripture. And there might be that sense that, what I'm doing is crazy. And maybe other people, friends, family, come along and say, well, it is crazy. You have this stable thing over here, whatever it may be, and you're good at this, and this is established. Why would you want to leave that? I mean, that could be discouraging, right? How do you deal with those kind of things?
Yes, it definitely can be, because we want people to corral with us. We want other people to confirm things for us. But, what I would tell just anyone who is in that season and they're being discouraged is that God calls it a secret place, right? What he reveals to us in the secret place is what he's revealed to us, because it's for us. He didn't call it a public place. He didn't call it a place for everyone to know. It's a secret place. Mm. And everyone will not understand what God tells you in your secret place and in your time with him. So we want to be like Mary with some of these things, and we want to treasure it in our heart. Mm. There's so many things that was being revealed to her about Jesus that Mary just treasured in her heart. And we see it all throughout Scripture. So it may be something that you treasure in your heart until God tells you, okay, it's okay to tell this person and that person. And that way, we're not discouraged by some of the outside responses and the outside statements and ideas. And, sometimes that discouragement comes because we have a conversation and we're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And all of these things we didn't think about that maybe God was not wanting us to think about in that moment are shared with us. And, we don't want that to hinder our obedience, because that's ultimately what it's about. So I would say, weigh out what he wants you to carry and treasure, because he gave it to you in your secret place. And then ask God for godly counsel and godly wisdom. Mm. It can be, it may not always be your best friend that you want to tell everything to, but he may have placed someone in your life that's a trailblazer. And that's the person who you go to, just like Mary did with Elizabeth, right? That's the person who you go to for just confirmation and for reassurance and for rest in your spirit as you are stepping into those leaps.
And you've been really clear about this, Rachel. This is really about God. It's not about us. It's something in his, if you will, his sovereign plan that he is working in our lives, preparing us for. And it's the journey that he's put each of us on, our own individual journey.
Yes, we are the vessel that he is using, but ultimately it is for his glory. He wants no one to be lost. And so we're partnering with him so that no one will perish, so that no one is lost. And it's never about us. The leaps are never really about us. I think about leaps I've made throughout my life, and then I look at my children and the things that they're doing, and I'm like, that was something that as they watch me do that, it birthed something in them. Hmm. It birthed this desire, this confidence in them. So leaps are not about us. It's about where God wants to place us for the assignment that he has in other people's. Yes, we will grow from them. Yes, we will experience his faithfulness in them. Yes, he cares about us, but it's not solely about us. It's so much about other people and how we can get that message of his goodness to them.
And in terms of these leaps, obviously you're doing something that God is leading you to do by his grace and so forth. And you say that we need to prepare for, in that context, spiritual warfare. What does that look like?
Preparation for spiritual warfare is on our knees, number one. But also, one thing that I tell people is that we're always in a battle. We're always in a war. It's just sometimes we are pushed to the front lines. The warfare doesn't go away. I think in our minds, we're like, oh, I'm in this warfare. And I've done that most of my life until recently. I'm like, you know what? I don't think I was ever out of it. I don't think I was ever out of it. I think what's happening right now is I got moved to the front lines. I work for the Department of Defense for a little bit. And there are times when, as in the military, they're moved to the front lines. There's certain ones that's where they're positioned. Mm-hmm. And then they come back for a little bit and they get a rest. And that doesn't mean that they're not still in the army. That doesn't mean that they're not still in an active war. We are always in this war. And so if you are walking through it, I want to just encourage you to know that we always are in a war. That's why we have to put on the full armor of God every single day. But we are not the ones having to fight. It is God fighting on our behalf. So when you see those things coming at you, when you find yourself overwhelmed by the warfare, get back in your position and your posture and know, okay, I'm in the front lines, but the enemy is still defeated. I'm just in the front right now and I'm getting to see everything up close that you might not want to see, but he's still defeated and God is walking with me.
So this is obviously something you refer to yourself as a leap coach. Is that fair to say?
Yes. So you're leap coach, leap mentor, say.
So you see this work in people's lives, this concept, encouraging them to identify with one of these biblical figures and their particular leap.
Absolutely. I had a client recently and she was a tent maker. And she was definitely walking through the challenges and the journey of a tent maker, managing her time, figuring out what to delegate, what not to delegate, having to release the control that she was so used to having because she was a manager. And, you know, that was just a part of her personality. But when we look back at all the things that she got accomplished as she released that control and she stepped into what God called her to, she actually was starting a podcast, writing and doing all of these great things. There was a peace that she experienced in getting to see the work being accomplished, getting to see the work getting done. And so that is our goal, is that we want to finish and we want to finish well. So when I'm coaching people, I'm reminding them of why they're doing what they're doing, what God is really calling them to, and who it is for. And now we're on the other side of it, and I'm just so thankful, and I'm watching what God is doing in her life. And it really was understanding the season she was in, understanding the journey of a tent maker and what that looked like, and how to walk that out in that particular season.
Well, the book is Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. And my guest is Rachel G. Scott. Well, Rachel, our time is just about up here today, but what is your encouragement for those that are listening to this, those that will read your book? What is the hope for the book, your hope for people who are exposed to the idea of taking these leaps?
Yeah, I would say two things. Number one, that God can do more with your willingness than he could ever do with your worthiness. So your yes is that willingness, and God can do, God will do the rest. He will get the glory out of that. The second thing is that there is more than one way to take a leap. It's not just a fisherman's. You have several other ways that you can. And so to ask God, which one and what are you calling me to do? How are you calling me to leap? And then move in the direction that he leads you.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, podcaster and Bible teacher Rachel G. Scott, author of Taking the Five Leaps, Experiencing God's Faithfulness as You Respond to His Call. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Derek Cooper contrasting Christianity with some new religious movements.
If you were to meet someone, maybe as a coworker, or maybe you're at a coffee shop, or just maybe it's a neighbor, and if you were to have a conversation with them and they were from a different religious tradition, they were not Buddhist or a Muslim, but maybe they were Mormon, or maybe they were Baha'i. So you're more likely to meet those individuals than some of the other much more smaller new religious movements.
That's tomorrow at the same time right here on His People. Thanks for listening.